We want some teaching on spiritual gifts and the exercise of spiritual gifts, the baptism, the Holy Spirit, on prayer, intercession, spiritual warfare. And we look forward because we believe this is what the Lord would bring to us to help us, because he wants us to flow with him so that we can be a blessing to others. And for some of us that means being taken out of our comfort zone. Some of you have already got out of your comfort zone, and that's good. Glory to God. It's a bit scary, but that's where Christ is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is in your eye? 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 Pupil, yes. Hope you got your sleep out before you come to the house of the Lord. What is in your eye? What is in your eye? One of the things the devil often attacks us, and perhaps other people unwittingly can, is to say, you'll never make it. You'll never be any good. Some children, you know, are told, you'll never be any good. You'll be just like your father. He was a no-gooder. And, you know, words do hurt, don't they? They can, there's power in some of the things we say. And some people, even when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, still struggle with inadequacy, still struggle with feelings of condemnation, still find it very difficult to come out from the past and into the presence where Christ is. I'm not talking about self-image, I'm talking about where we should be in Jesus. Where we should be in Jesus, the promises of the Lord. I'm so thankful myself, friends, for what the Apostle Paul writes in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians and chapter 1, where he tells us that, you know, the Lord doesn't call many wise, he doesn't call many noble, mighty people. But he calls those who sort of are weak. The world, of course, you know, we want to see the people with, you know, good looking. We want people who've made it. People who've got, you know, big fat pockets and huge cars. They impress the world. They impressed us once upon a time. What Paul says in 1 Corinthians about, hey, the Lord looks upon people a bit different. In fact, he looks on them a whole lot different. You know, the outward doesn't impress God. But the humble heart, when he sees somebody, however proud they may have been, who now realize they are nothing before a holy God. In fact, they are lost. They are sinful. But recognize that in Christ, there's a Savior. There's one who can bring reconciliation. The Lord dwells with the humble, they're blessed. They may or may not have made it big in this world, but now God can use them as long as they stay humble. Because in that same passage it says, no glory can dwell in his presence. No flesh can glory in his presence. Jesus must have all of the glory. Sometimes, as I say, even as Christians and believers, we feel so inadequate. The Apostle Paul is saying, look, trust me. We've heard the testimonies today. Look to me. Who knows about Gladys Aylward? Who's read about Gladys Aylward? Gladys Aylward, the great missionary to China in the mid 20th century, she did a great work, a great ministry in China. God was with her. At one point, a neighbouring country came to where they were. They had to flee. They had to get out and go to free China, to where it was free. And she was looking after, at that time, something like 100 orphan children. And she, with one girl about 13, went with these children to go to a place of safety. because their lives were in peril and so on. She was doing the Lord's work. And one day she was giving up. She felt almost at despair. This is this great lady of God, a mighty woman of faith. Mighty woman of faith. And this 13-year-old girl who was with her said, but think about Moses. The sea was parted. He fled the Egyptians and he crossed the water. And she said to him, Gladys said to her, I mean, but I'm not Moses. And as quick as a flash, the girl said, no, but Jehovah is still God. Jehovah is still God. You know, we can compare ourselves with others, can't we? We can think, well, we'll never be as used of the Lord. Who am I? That's not how God sees things. And this morning, what is in your eye? What may be hindering you? What may be hindering me that we're not fulfilling what God really, really has and wants for us, so that we can be a blessing for others? What am I leaving for others to do, which perhaps the Lord is saying, Jim, I'm calling you for this work. I'm calling you for this ministry. I'm calling you to be this evangelist. I'm calling you to be this witness. Do we just put up and say, nah, leave someone? They're more qualified. Who's talking about qualifications? Who's talking about decrees? Degrees, even. Hey? We're talking about people who are humble and saying, with God, all things are possible. He wants to use you from the youngest to the oldest still. Some of you, it's in prayer. Real intercession. You feel that perhaps the days of going out and witnessing and are over because you're more housebound now. How conscious I was, even in Africa, of those of you who were praying, interceding. Those who go out on the streets, that's so valuable. We enter into the battle together. Gladys Aylward and those orphan children made it through the mountains to safety. Glory to God. They proved once again that no matter how tough the circumstances may be, how insignificant we may feel, God is still God, and we can depend on Him. Hallelujah. I want to take just a brief look at a story from the Old Testament, 2 Kings and chapter 6. And in this little passage that we're going to read, someone is asked a question. What's wrong with your eye? What's in your eye? Ask God to take something out so that you can see the Lord. What is in your eye? 2 Kings, and we're going to read verses, chapter 6, verses 8 to 23. If you have a church Bible, it's page 334. See, long before the healing of Naaman, while Ben-Hadad the first was still king of Israel, a most remarkable thing happened. We're going to read about it. An entire Syrian army was captured alive by Elisha the prophet. How did it happen? Verse 8. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him, Elisha. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king. But Elijah the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel, the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And Elijah's servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So Elisha answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. Now Elisha said to them, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. So it was, when they had come to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And there they were, inside Samaria. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elijah, my father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? But he answered, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set foot and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Then he prepared a great feast for them, and after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. It's all God at work, really, isn't it? It's God. It's God at work. See, as we've just read, the king of Syria was attempting to make war again with Israel. And we just read that every time they tried, and they tried to make war, a trap was set. And the Israelites moved in another direction. And it soon became clear that the Israelite generals knew the king of Syria's plans in advance. They knew them in advance. So what happens? What we have to do, the king calls a security meeting. And they meet around this table, and he said, there's got to be a spy in the camp. There has to be a spy in the camp. They're getting this information in advance. They're tricking us. They're deceiving us. They're getting out of the way. We've got to find out who it is. But one of his servants said, one of the king's servants said, no, there's no spy. The problem is the prophet Elijah. He's the problem. God shows him everything. Shows him the lot. A bit frightening what they're saying in the bedroom is heard by the prophet, isn't it? He knows every order you give. He knows what you say in your bedroom. And he's telling the king of Israel. Absolutely bamboozled the king of Syria, the enemy of Israel. So what happens? The king of Syria sends this great army with chariots and horses. They go to the city of Doam, or whatever it's called, Dothan. And they surround the city to capture Elijah. Now, as we just read, Elijah was in Dothan with his young servant, right? And it was early morning. Early morning. And the servant went out to the place where they were staying to begin his day's work. But he looked up into the hills. Looked into the distance and all the hills that were surrounding Dothan. And there he froze. He had a panic attack. He was petrified, because there, surrounding Dothan, was a great army. Chariots, horses, no escape. They were done for. The enemies were too big. So he rushes back into the house to Elijah and reported what he'd seen. He says, "Oh, my master, what shall we do? I've been there. What shall we do?" And then, of course, Elijah says a most peculiar thing to his servant. "Don't be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." There's another passage, the other passages which I think of, which is a bit similar to that. Sennacherib, Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles. Let's see what they say in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Of course, godly Hezekiah at times did wrong things. He compromised and whatever. But he was a man of God, a man who trusted God. And Sennacherib is again coming against Israel. He's wanting to make war. And we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 these remarkable words, verses 7 and 8. Verses 7 and 8 of 2 Chronicles 32. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God, to help us and to fight our battles." And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Amazing. They've got the arm of flesh, but we've got God. Hallelujah. That's our story in 2 Chronicles and chapter 2 Kings. Why would Elijah say, "But there's more with us than with them," when it was obvious to the naked eye, to the natural eye, that there were loads of them, horses and chariots, and they were surrounding the city? The servant made a rough estimate, I'm sure, and he was counting. He began counting on his fingers. Then it went into hundreds. Then it went into thousands as he looked. And then he looked at himself, and he looked at Elijah. 1, 2, he could count there. Thousands against 2, impossibility. "Wake up, Elijah. You may be a prophet, but you've blown it this time. You've lost it. It's gone to your head." "What are you talking about, Elijah?" But then the gracious, the man of God, prays for his servant. He's learning. He's a novice. He's got to grow. He's got to learn lessons. Elijah learns lessons. We're learning lessons. And he says, "Lord, I pray, open the land of God that you sent. Open the land of God." And the Lord opens his eyes. so overwhelming that all you're seeing is the mountains and not the God who's there. Is a day like today? Snowing, damp, just cloud. No sun. Yet the sun is still there. You go up in the aeroplane and you soon see the sun. There all the time. Hidden for a while, still there. May your prayer be answered for yourself. May our prayer for this church be answered. Lord, open my eye, that I may see, that I may see with the eye of faith. That pleases God, and he can move. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. The Lord opened his eyes. The boy received spiritual sight. What does John say in one of his letters? He says, "You dear children, you who are from God, you who have overcome, the one who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Thank you, Lord. What have you got in your eye? Pastor, what's in your eye? That's the question God is asking. What do you see? What do you see? The boy looked now. What did he see? Forget the Syrians, forget the enemy, forget the overwhelming circumstances that have come against them. The mountains around Durham were filled with horses and chariots of fire, standing guard around the man of God now. The heavenly hosts are encamped around the man of God, the man of faith, around Elijah. It was the host of the Lord, the angelic armies of God. You see, I think the Lord's armies had been there all the time. Elisha knew it, but the boy needed to get his spiritual sight. When you're feeling inadequate, church, when you're feeling, hey, it's tough, like the situation is, it's almost as if you're beaten, feel outnumbered and overwhelmed, God's saying, what have you got in your eye? Friend, when overwhelmed with the forces of evil, we need, as we've already been exhorted, to look up and see with the eye of faith the heavenly host that God, night and day, is serving us. Which is always true, as we read in Psalm 34 right at the beginning, the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We do need to get God's perspective on things. Young people, let's get God's perspective. And he will lead us in his ways. We heard on Wednesday evening from Proverbs how the Lord directs the paths of those who love him and fear him. We have to trust him, don't we? We have to trust him. We have to get a Romans 8 perspective. All things work together for those who are called according to his purpose. Boy was on his summer holidays, and every day along the street came a circus as they were going to the big park. Now please, I do not condone animals in circus. I think they're obnoxious. Don't ever go there. But this boy knew no different. And every day at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the circus performers would go with all of these exotic animals down the street. But he was a small lad, and he wasn't allowed outside the big gate. But in the fence surrounding their property where they was on holiday, there was just a knothole, and he could just peer through the hole and just get a glimpse just get a glimpse of all this wonderful colour and the animals. And that made him happy. But how he really wanted to see the whole thing. Then one morning, he woke up with a heavy, heavy head cold. And his mother said, "I'm sorry, son, you can't go out today. You're confined to your bedroom." That annoyed him because he was just sort of living to get this glimpse. It just overwhelmed him. He just was so fascinated by the sight, and it's so different from back home. Now, never anything like that happened where they lived. So he was annoyed and upset and refused to eat his porridge. But nevertheless, when he knew it was time for them to come by over in the road beyond, he thought, "I wonder if I stand up on a chair and peer out my bedroom window." And he did. And you know, he had a marvellous view. He had a bird's eye view of it all. It was far better than being on the ground looking through a knot hole. We need to get God's perspective, God's view, and he will help us. He will help us. It's faith. "Lord, I'm not sure what's going on, but I know you know. I just want to be obedient to you and faithful to you, because I know you are with me and for me." We see a little bit, when all the time, perhaps, we could be seeing things from a higher perspective. May God help us. It's called faith. God, help encourage each other. So often we question God because we don't understand what all is going on. Circumstances sometimes don't make sense. Sometimes we think, well, we've been so faithful, and yet still things go wrong. We're looking out just through the little knot hole of our human viewpoint, and we don't see very well at times. But God sees perfectly. God sees perfectly. May the Lord help us. May we want, really have the desire to trust him and wait on him to get his sight for us as individuals, families, in the work situation, in the school, in the college, as a church, as a fellowship. What have you got in your eyes? We don't have to be super gifted geniuses in order for God to use us. God takes us, perhaps the most unlikely candidates, as he did first time round in the New Testament with those disciples. But he wants to get all the glory. He doesn't look so much for great ability, but he's looking for availability. He's looking for those who say, "Well, yeah, I can see the storms. I can see the enemy. I acknowledge a bit of my unbelief as well. But I see the Lord. I see the Lord." He hasn't failed me yet. He's not going to fail me now. He's Jehovah. That's one of the things perhaps we can do one time, is go through the names. Jehovah's. That strengthens us. That encourages us. Look to the Lord. Where does your help come from? Where does my help come? Oh, does it come from the hills? Does it come from the mountains? No! It comes from the Creator himself, the Lord God. And he will strengthen you, and he will strengthen me. Keep faithful, keep looking, keep being obedient, and get out there and tell others. Jimmy, get out there and tell others. Do you know, it was so nice in Kenya, they kept calling me Pastor Jimmy. A few years ago, that would have offended me. I tell you, my eye would have got up, and I would have got really uptight about it. But it's okay, so you can call me Pastor Jimmy. I don't mind. Don't call me Pastor James. Let's pray. Father, you are speaking. Please help us to respond as you would have us to. Thank you, Lord, that you are for us. Who can be against us? And any of my dear brothers and sisters, any of whatever age or condition in, who are in the midst of a battle, Lord, as they're surrendering to you and committing everything to you, you are going to remind them that, hey, the battle isn't theirs. It belongs to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hear us, we pray, and you will do us good as we seek to follow you.